His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito, and I thank you for joining us here today, friends. God bless you. Thank you for taking 30 minutes of your day to join me as we together study the Word of Almighty God. You're going to hear a sermon now that I just preached yesterday at Island Community Church. We just started a new series yesterday. It's called Understanding Eschatology. And eschatology is the Greek word for end times. So this is the study of end times. We'll be looking at a wide array of different things. Here we started off with what kicks everything off is Jesus' promise. In my Father's house are many mansions. He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And I will receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. Now we're 2,000 years in, and we're still waiting for the fulfillment of that. But you can bet your sweet Bippy, it's going to be fulfilled. End times. When is Jesus coming back? Does the Bible tell us? As a matter of fact, that's where we're starting here today, as they asked him that very question. What will be the signs of your coming? What will be the signs of the end of the age? So that's where we're going to be here today. We'll look at the false prophet next week. We'll continue in Matthew 24 a few weeks after that. We're going to look at how Israel fits into all this. We'll look at the two witnesses. We'll look at the Antichrist. We'll look at the government forcing you to take a mark in order to buy or sell. Those are the things that we're in for the next, 10 or 12 weeks. So fasten your seatbelt. Enjoy the program. We would love to see you at Island. God's doing a great work there. We would love to have you come and visit us. More on that as the week unfolds and we get closer to Sunday. This is part one of this message now. This message is entitled The End of All Things, and it will play today and tomorrow. There we go. The End of All Things. That's what we're looking at. Starting a new series here, Understanding Eschatology. Eschatology meaning the study of end times or the study of end things. It's going to be a wonderful study, I do believe. Certainly, I've been praying about that, for that, and then some. Two Greek words we're going to see throughout. Number one, epiphania, meaning appearing, where naturally our word epiphany comes from. Matter of fact, let's stop right here. We need to pray before we even go any further. Lord, we praise you here today. Without your understanding and wisdom that you impart into us, all is meaningless. Help us to know you better. Help us to understand here today and these coming weeks all we're going to be looking at here. Fill us with wisdom and insight from on high. We pray your word back to you, that you promise that if we lack wisdom, if we ask you, you will just fill us with all the wisdom that we need and then some. We pray that right now, Lord. Fill us with the wisdom that we need to understand and to be about your business here until you return. And we praise you here now in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, epiphania. The second word being parousia, meaning arrival or coming. The study of end times will include a sermon or two on God's end times players. Like actors in a play, such as the Antichrist, who has already existed, by the way. Well, you got to show up on that week and hear that sermon. Or the false prophet,
who the Bible says has the power to give life. Did you know that? I know everyone in this church is schooled on that, but you see, this is how he's going to deceive people, is people don't know that or understand Revelation 13 that says the Antichrist has the power to give life to the image of the beast. The image, that's another one on your list there, abomination of desolation, who will ensure that you have your vaccination card. I wrote on the margin of my handout, Anthony Fauci. Funny how wisdom increases every week, isn't it? I don't know. All we know is the time is coming when the government's going to force you to do this kind of stuff, and there's going to be someone in charge that's going to make sure that you have got these things. I don't make it up. The Word of God already knows these things, and this is tomorrow's newspaper we're looking at. So the false prophet, the abomination of desolation, like I said, who will ensure, figuratively speaking, that your vaccination card is up to date. And naturally, the two witnesses we're going to look at. Or we could say, really, instead of the two witnesses, it'll be the State of the Union address. Because that's more of a picture of what's going on in the world when this happens. The State of the Union. We'll look at the rapture of the church, which finds its origins in today's very first text we're going to look at here this morning. If you would please turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 1. Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And I will receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." So Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" So Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So 2,000 years later, this promise still awaits fulfillment. "If I go and prepare a place for you," he says, "I will come again. I will," paralambano is the Greek word. It means to receive near or to receive unto myself. Paralambano. "For this purpose," keep reading, "for this purpose." This is why he says, "so that where I am, there you may be also." Now here's a verse that God gave me this morning preparing for this. How many people here have that devotional here? Not the daily bread, but the other one in the, what's it called again? You can grab one on their way out the door here. I forget the title of it. This was in today's devotional from John. While you're in John, flip to chapter 17, verse 24. If you're still there. Thank you. Days of praise. God does this all the time with me. That thing was written a year ago. And now here's a message from God right out of there to me, this poor old sap working on my sermon this morning. John 17, 24, Jesus. Now, John 17 is Jesus' famous high priestly prayer. He prays for his apostles. He prays for the church. He prays for those that will become members of the household of God that will be Christians. It's a threefold breakdown of his prayer. Verse 24, Jesus says, Father, I will also that these also whom you have given me, that they may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundations of the world. Now, Jesus prayed. And I promise you, everything that he prays for is going to be answered. Jesus prayed to the Father that the time would come that he would pray that those of us would be with him where he is. We're still waiting for that to happen. This is eschatology. It's a look and a study. When is this going to happen? When is Jesus' prayer going to be fulfilled? When is the time going to come where he's going to come again and receive us unto himself? Not his coming back, landing on the Mount of Olives and coming here to start the 1,000-year reign of Christ. This is different. He's promised he's coming back again for the purpose of taking you and I to be where he is. It is. That's good news. So that's our launching point. This promise from Christ that he's coming back. And that he's coming back with a purpose. To take us out of this world and take us to where he resides, where the promise states there are many mansions. So let's build on that here a little bit. Acts chapter 1 verse 9 says this. It records the day that Jesus left this world and ascended into heaven. And a verse, by the way, which starts end time. Is this verse here, Acts chapter 1, verse 9. Now, when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Can you picture this? This is 40 days after he was crucified, to the day. He's given last instructions. As he's speaking to them, this cloud comes. This is right here. When he had spoken these things, while they were watching, he was taken up. And a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? Now here comes the promise. This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come again in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. All right, that's promise number two, right? This, Hebrews 9:28. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. And to those who eagerly await him, or the King James Version says, those that look for him, he will come a second time. There's our word, epiphania. He will come a second time apart from sin, unto salvation. All right, that's three promises we've had. One, John chapter 14, the angels here, Acts 9:11, the same Jesus is going to come back again. Just like you saw him go on a cloud, he's coming back again. That's two. Hebrews 9:28, he will appear a second time to those that look for him. That's three. Titus 2:4, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious epiphania, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's four promises that we're not done in this world yet. That there's more to this life than you living and dying. Jesus is coming back again. He's coming back again. Not to judge this world. He's coming back again to receive you unto himself. Here's promise number five. As if you needed more than one from God. Promise number five. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God. Boop, 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 boop. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Look at when this happens. Resurrection day, on the last day. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then those of us, or we who are alive and remain, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we will always be with the Lord. There's five promises so far in the Bible that Jesus is coming back again. And he's coming back again without stepping on terra firma. He's coming back again to receive you. Five promises. And this, Revelation 1:7, it says, behold, he's coming in the clouds, just like Acts said. Behold, he's coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will wail because of him. Then it says, even so, amen. Even so, meaning, though I can't change it, it is what it is. Even so, when he comes back, most of the world is going to wail. That's not going to be my response. How about you? When Jesus comes back to end all this muck, is your response going to be to wail? This is why he says, even so. Even so, I can't change it. Even so, my mother's going to wail. Even so, my daughter's going to wail. Even so, my sister's going to wail. Even so, my son's going to wail. Even so, my best friend is going to wail. Even so. It is what it is. Jesus is coming back soon. Are you ready for his return? Are you ready? We're going to get into it too here coming up in the days. Why wail? Why are people going to wail? Why are people going to wail when Jesus comes back? Because the people here are going. Now, it's not you, because you're coming back with him, riding on horses. Revelation chapter 19 and 20. When Jesus comes back, people, when he comes with the clouds and people are going to wail, people are going to look up. And then they're going to look down. And they're going to see right here on their right hands, 666. And then they're going to wail. They're going to wail because they guessed wrong in life. They guessed wrong. Everything their mother told them was right. Everything their father told them was right. Everything the preacher told them was right. And they guessed wrong. They guessed wrong. That's not going to be my response. If I was here when that happened, and I don't know. That's the greatest mystery known to man, is when is Jesus coming back? This I know is that you and I need to be ready for that. Regardless of our understanding of eschatology, this we know, Jesus is coming back. Are you ready for his return? Well, how can I be ready? I just read the verse to you. He's coming a second time, apart from sin, meaning no one's going to pull on his beard. You're not crucifying him anymore. You're not going to spit in his eye again. He's coming back with power and in great glory. And to those that eagerly await him, he will appear a second time. Is that you? My best understanding to explain eagerly await him would be like being a child on Christmas Eve. My parents would send us upstairs because I believed in that fool with a beard. My dad would ring his bells downstairs. And, oh, man, I couldn't wait for that little red racer. Because it was snowing out, and there was ice all around the place. Oh. Ever have a dad try to wrap up a red racer in wrapping paper? Thing's 6 feet long. Don't waste your time, Pops. I know what's in that. That is what he's looking for in you. That attitude. That expectation of hope. That's what he's looking for in you. That is who he's coming back for. That. How will you know when his return is near, Bill? I'm glad you asked that question. This is where we're going to be here now and for the next few weeks. Let me repeat your question, which you maybe thought about but didn't ask. Well, how will I know? Is it sin for me to try to know when he's coming back? No, it's not. He gives us verse by verse, blow by blow description of when this is going to happen. So if you have a pen and paper, you can make your own list as we go along. If you would please turn with me to Matthew chapter 24. Able to hear me back there, Danny? Now, when I asked him this question, he didn't say, it is not for you to know. He answered the question. Matthew 24, verse 3, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming? And of that's the word parousia, the second word I showed you. What will be the sign of your parousia and of the end of the age? King James has end of the world. Take your pick. There are the questions. Our questions. What will be the signs of your return? What will be the signs of the end of the age? Verse 4, Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. Because many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ. Or better yet, I am the Messiah, your Savior. Not Jesus Christ. They'd run him out of town if he came back and said his name was Jesus Christ. Look what they did the first time he came here. I'm the Messiah. I'm your Savior. And will deceive many. Verse 6, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For a nation, ethnos, will rise up against ethnos. Kingdom against kingdom. There'll be famines, pestilences, if you got a good Bible. If you have a bad Bible, pestilence isn't in your Bible. Isn't that funny? The greatest threat to humanity today is taken out of new Bibles. Is the word pestilence in your Bible, church? Get a new one if it's not. Man took that out. 150 years ago. Nation arise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginnings of Odin, sorrows, birth pangs, a woman 8 7/8 months pregnant. Dum, dum, boom.
All the time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily. and is tuned in to His frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is He. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I see because I'm happy. I see because I am free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. And I know He watches. Yes, I know He watches. Yes, I know He watches me. I see. I know He watches me. He watches. He watches me. He watches me.
You are listening to Today's Modern Worship here in Brevard County, 91.5 FM, WMIE. You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa,